go home early. Is that all right with you? Yeah. I've never heard anybody disagree with the preacher who said that. Introducing Alicia and Nathan Maglia. Stand up. They just got married last weekend. And I had an opportunity to have a good conversation with both of their dads. Boy, good couple of guys there. Yeah, we had a really, really good time. Bring you greetings from Julie. She's still in New York enjoying her time up there. And so keep her in prayer because she will be traveling towards the end of the week. And that's never fun when you're traveling that far. Believe me, the older I get, and I'm not as old as some of you are, but still, even at 60 years old, I'm ready to stop those international trips like that. So, particularly as tall as I am, I can't afford first class. So, also, next week is movie day, and we're going to watch the movie War Room. Now, I watched it last night, and there was numerous times I just dissolved into tears watching it. And it was incredible. I'm just going to let you know, there's a little bit of, chintzy acting in it, but that's, they're not A-class actors and actresses, but the message is powerful. But one thing about it, it's 120 minutes long. That's 2 hours. So be ready. Soon as you get here, straight at 10 o'clock, bingo, we get started. We're going to watch it all the way through to 12. And we're going to have morning tea here. You can go have your morning tea, but we're not going to be stopping the movie, all right? So if you need to go out or whatever like that, just make plans on that. I'm going to talk to Matt. Maybe we have some popcorn. I don't know about popcorn that early in the morning. So coffee or tea probably is the better thing. So I'll just tell you something that happened. Last night I was watching this movie, and Milo was off in his bed asleep, and Charlie's where he normally is, right next to me, sound asleep, laying up next to me. He kept turning around looking at me. I wonder, what's bothering you? Well, it was me. I was sitting there going. He said, "Dad, what's the matter with you?" Oh, but it was powerful. And if you ever want something to help ignite your prayer life, wow. And it's powerful. So make sure you're here next week, all right? All right, we're going to get into some storytelling today. As you know, in Australia, storytelling is a very integral part of our history. It goes all the way back to the Aboriginal, about 6,000 years ago. I don't take the scientific view. But anyway, whenever they started, they started passing on their beliefs and visions of dream time through stories. Of course, we know that the early Jew, they passed their history on through stories. And particularly here in Australia, if you're above a certain age, you would remember the names Henry Lawson or Banjo Patterson. Over Garden Village, Some of the guys can quote the very long stories. Henry Lawson, I wonder, is this something mandatory stuff that you do in school or something? I don't know. But their stories are captivating, and telling stories of the bush and things like that is just extraordinary. I remember when I first got here, that's how I learned about the bush, is hearing the stories and reading things like that. And so storytelling has always been an important part here in our country, particularly. But I love a good story. If you want to connect with me, tell me a story that connects with my emotions, and you got me. I like a dramatic monologue. Somebody's doing a good monologue. I'll just sit and I'm like that. And if it's sad, I'm gone. Charlie would be shocked. You know, I'd be blubbering all over the place. But that connects with what we're going to talk about today. We've been talking about the parables of Jesus, and he is the master storyteller. And we're going to look at one of the stories that he told today. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. Hopefully you took the time over the week to read that story. Most people already know the story. It's probably good to look over it. I kept going back and reading it over and over and over and over to where I can get all the ideas out of it. And so we're going to go through that story today, and then we're going to pick it apart. We're going to go verse by verse and let you know what I've discovered about each of the things in that story. So let's go to the Lord first in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for today. Thank you for Steve and his leading this morning. Thank you for his honesty and his clarity. Father, I thank you for your blessings. Thank you that you are a God who hears and listens and answers prayer. Thank you that you have invited us to come to your throne when we have need. And we'll investigate more of that next week. But today, Father, help us to look at this story, this Good Samaritan that we all know. Help us to better understand it and get the message from it and take it home and apply it. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bible, or if you have your iPad or phone or whatever it is, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. If you're looking for a version, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to them, "What's written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, that's the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer responded, "To the one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." It's a good story, isn't it? And this story has entered into the cultures worldwide, and we've talked about it, we've implemented it, we've emulated it. People's made movies about it, people, whatever. But it's one of those stories that is so good by this itinerant preacher that it's just part of our culture. So let's go have a look at it, and we'll look at it verse by verse, and let me just give you my thoughts. First of all, verse 25, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, What should I do to inherit eternal life? Well, when somebody asks to show, let them know how to have eternal life, well, I immediately would go to the gospel presentation, you know, and tell them about Jesus and all the things that Jesus did. But you see, that's my limited thinking. I would tell them how to be saved. But Jesus, being the wise one that he is, and he knows the very heart of man, he recognized an opportunity to make a point. His response is, verse 26, and he said to them, what is written in the law? How do you read it? What is written in the law? Now notice this. The man that is asking the question is a lawyer. Now, this is not a legal lawyer. Most people think he is a lawyer of the law of Moses. So he is a law lawyer. And he understands the law. He's memorized the law. He's interacted with it. So he knows the Jewish law inside and out. And Jesus asked him, what's written there? How do you read it? And knowing who he is, and you have this teacher, and you have this law lawyer, having a conversation, and Jesus comes up and says, how do you read it? You can imagine that everybody standing around, they've hushed. And they're listening. They want to hear the response. With this in mind, Jesus turns back to the law, and he forces the man to make a statement that Jesus could respond to. You see, he didn't tell him how to have eternal life. He asked him a question to where the man would engage and Jesus can respond. We should learn that. When people make a statement, it's best to answer with a question. If you answer with a question, you're not showing them how much you know. You should show them how wise you are by asking a question. And Jesus tells him, what do you think the law says? Verse 27, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. This is exactly the words that Jesus used earlier on when somebody asked him, what is the greatest commandments? And he quoted this right here. You love God first with everything within you and you love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus responds, verse number 28, and he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. And I'm sure everybody standing around probably smiled. Hey, good answer. Good answer, Mr. Lawyer. You know, you've got the Lord's approval. But then the next verse reveals a little bit of the lawyer's motive. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they've had a hidden motive? And then all of a sudden, something they say begins to reveal that motive. Well, that's what happened. Verse 29, the lawyer, but he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Desiring to justify himself. What do you think he wants to do that for? Anybody have any ideas? Okay, class, think. Why do you think he's trying to justify himself?
To excuse himself for not loving him.
Do you think there's somebody that he doesn't love? He is a Jewish lawyer, okay? It's known throughout the scriptures that Jews are very isolated from other people. There's people that they literally hate. And there's a group of people called the Samaritans that they actually despise. This is not a political hatred. This is a deep-seated religious hatred. They cannot stand Samaritans. So Jesus is he tells this story, and well, this he's getting ready to tell the story, but this lawyer wants to know how to have eternal life. Then he responds and he says, the lawyer says, "Who is my neighbor?" I think he is trying to just find out who it is that he can love and who it is that he can not love. Then Jesus tells the story. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among the robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead." Any question about what happened there? I mean, this road from Jerusalem to Jericho was very notorious for this anyway. It's kind of a curvy, hilly area, and it was notorious for these things happening. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I wonder why he did that. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. Fine religious people that they are. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, and poured on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." And again, a casual reading of this gives us just an interesting little story. But looking a little deeper, we can get some insight. So let's look at the characters involved. The lawyer, a Jewish lawyer who knew exactly what the law said. Secondly, Jesus, the Son of God. Incidentally, we know he's a man who's confronting the law. The person who was attacked. We know nothing about the person who was attacked. There's some of the theologians try to tell us this and that and the other, but according to the text, you don't know who it is that was attacked. You just know some dude was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he unfortunately ran across some thieves and robbers, and they beat him up, and they rob him and leave him for dead. So we just know he's a man in need at this time in his life. The priest who walked by, another Jewish leader, well respected in the community probably, a man who knew what the law said, and also a man who was willing to walk around somebody who was in need. Why would he do that? And then a priest walked by. Another Jewish leader. Or a priest, I'm repeating myself, a Levite, another man who knew the law and he knew what was expected of him. But he too was willing to walk right on by. Why? Why would they do that? We'll talk about that in a few moments. And then we have the Samaritan. I love this. The Samaritan, a man who was despised by the lawyer, the priest, and the Levite. Now, if you'll think about that, you'll get the motive behind the Lord's story. Why in the world would he respond with a story to a Jewish lawyer and make a Samaritan the hero? Why would he do that? Anybody here like satire at all? Or political humor? Anybody like political humor? I'm not very good with political humor. I always get the punchline wrong and I make a fool of myself. But this is not political humor. This is religious humor. It's not very humorous, but Jesus brings a despised race into a story and makes him a hero while talking to a Jewish lawyer. Only Jesus would do that. And he does it well. You see, these Jews that walked around the man who was in need, they were just doing what comes natural to them. A lot of people have given a lot of reasons why they walked around. Well, somebody said that they might have thought that he was dead, and the Jewish law says if you touch a dead body, then you're going to be unclean. And they didn't want to be unclean to help a person in need. Matter of fact, they wouldn't even check. What does that make you think of religiosity? And then some people would think that perhaps the reason they didn't stop because they already saw this traveler has been beaten up and robbed, and maybe the robbers are still around, so they're going to just go on around because they're afraid they might get attacked too. Might be a legitimate reason. They probably do need to be careful. And then the Samaritan comes along. An outcast, a reject, a man who's despised, who could care less about getting unclean. He could care less about the dangers involved. He sees somebody who is in need, and he's going to do everything in his power to help this person who is in need. Who would you vote for? The Samaritan. And then Jesus asked this question that really gets to the heart of this Jewish lawyer. Verse number 36. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? You know, I could just imagine. Now stop with me here. You got Jesus and the lawyer. You got people standing around. And when Jesus told this story, I'm sure everybody was kind of getting more and more into the story. And then he pops this question. Who do you think proved to be the neighbor? Your religious associates or this despised Samaritan? How will he respond? His next words give you insight to his heart. Verse 37, he said, "The one who showed him mercy." Can you find anything unusual about that? Why didn't he just say the Samaritan? Think about it. Why didn't this Jewish lawyer just say, "Oh, it was the Samaritan who proved to be the neighbor"? Why did he say, "The one who showed him mercy"? What does that tell you about the Jewish lawyer? Yeah, these are the people that he despised, and he's trying to be justified to where they're not his neighbors. And when he said that, checkmate, Jesus had him. Jesus had him. Not only was he checkmated, but he was exposed. He was uncovered. And everybody knew the hypocrisy in his heart. Boy, Jesus is good, isn't he? With one little story, Jesus confronts, exposes, and instructs a Jewish lawyer. Now, for those of you who like to witness, Take note of how Jesus did that. He was not hateful. He was not condemning. He was always gracious. Yet what he said was so profound that it's remembered 2,000 years later. And he was a perfect gentleman all along. Remember that, folks. We do not have to get hateful, nervous, or scared when we're talking to people. But we need to keep Christian grace about us, because God can use that. Now, what is Jesus saying to us through this story? You see, we are followers of Jesus. And according to that, if we're a follower of Jesus, then there is no one excluded from those that we would help, right? No one? So let's turn the light of the Lord's story on us. Who in our lives do we want to exclude? Who would it be just easy enough for us to walk around when we see they're struggling? Can you think of anyone?
A Muslim?
Could be. I could list two or three here, but I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be pointed. But you see, there's a lot of us who would just as rather not associate with somebody who has either confronted us, or we think totally different, or their color of their skin is wrong, or the way they dress is a little bit funny, or whatever it is, we don't want to help or be around them to encourage them. Why? Because we're biased, and as a Christian, you're not allowed that. Amen? Jesus' story proves that. There is no hatred or ill feelings that we may have today that would even measure to the differences between the Jew and the Samaritan. And yet Jesus made the Samaritan the hero, and the Jewish lawyer had to respond to that. So who is it that you would walk around to avoid helping? Regardless of who we are and who they are, we have a duty of care. Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. You are. But Jesus gives us some really good insight on how to do this. And if you will, go with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 37. This is what he said. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Can I bring a current situation into this? I've been following the Supreme Court proceedings over in America. Maybe you have. You know, I sure would like to think that Mr. Kavanaugh, who will be confirmed and in the Supreme Court, will not try to take a grudge out on people. Because I tell you what, I would struggle. I would struggle with the attacks and things on his character. But a good Christian would respond with grace. We need to keep that in mind, folks. Jesus says, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. Man, that would be so tough. You smack me, and I just might respond. I'm sorry, forget response, react. But that's just the fight or flight thing that kicks in. But Jesus said, if somebody smack you, turn to the other side and say, here you go. That's hard, isn't it, Ken? And here's another one. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold from him your tunic. Somebody steals something from you, offer him something else. Come on, Jesus, how do you do that? Well, let's just give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. There's the golden rule. How many would struggle with some of these? Me too. Now, all right, Christians, you may think that you've avoided this, but listen, I want all Christians to listen to me. Jesus is going to jump on our wagon, all right? And if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love him. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. I mean, we kind of try to hang out with Christian people most of the time, and people are good to us, we're good to them. Jesus said, what good is that? You be good to people who mistreat you, then you'll be as Jesus was. This is so contradictory to human character. But you see, God never gave excuses for human character. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, all has become new. You're a new person. You have a new character. We need to start responding that way. Amen? Only trouble is I'll probably test it on this before the day's out. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. Oh, and look at this. And you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And boy, he could have let this next one out. Verse 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Do you want me to give an altar call right now? Folks, we have no choice but to forgive. Why? Because they deserve it? No. It's because we got grace. We need to offer grace. As followers of Jesus, we're not allowed to hate or exclude or judge anyone. Let me say it again. As followers of Jesus, we're not allowed to hate, exclude, or judge anyone. Anyone. Say it with me. Anyone. You fill in the blank. But as Christians, we do it all the time, don't we? Jesus modeled what he taught. Let me show you what he did. He reached out and touched lepers, which was a no-no. He spent a one-on-one time with the Samaritan woman at the well, which was a cultural no-no. When he spoke to and healed a man that was possessed by dangerous demons. Be careful with that one. That's what he did. And the woman that was caught in adultery, clearly guilty under Jewish law, he did not condemn. What would you have done? God said, love your neighbor in the law. Jesus said it in the New Testament, and he didn't excuse anyone from that command. So in the words of Jesus to the Jewish lawyer, here's our challenge for today. Are you ready? Go and do likewise. Okay. Is this going to be easy? not on your life. We're so used to falling into a routine of reactionism. What we need to do when something happens is respond. I've always told my son, you respond, don't react. And when I was up there visiting with him, I was reacting. He said, Dad, you always said respond, not react. I went, so folks, as Christians, we need to respond with the love of Jesus. Even if somebody cuts you off as you're driving down the road. Boy, that's a bad one, isn't it? Honk, honk! I don't waste my time blowing the horn. I just kind of swerve. So, what can we learn from the story of the Good Samaritan? Ooh! Let your response be your responsibility. That's pretty good. There's a lot of wisdom coming from this congregation, isn't there? Well, the whole story here is love your neighbor as yourself. And do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Please stand. Oh, glad I started early. Folks, and the only way to do all of this is keep our eyes on Jesus. And let's sing that song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Next week, come preparing to watch a movie. Have a great week.